And again, answering are the Eagles.
Cato now, 4-3. That's two in a row for the freshman. The steal, the spin, behind the back, splitting the double team. Top 10.
What's going on, guys? This is Screech Report. Your host, as always, Elliot, joined by Russell. What's popping?
What's popping? Yeah. Nothing. Just nah. Yeah, right. Same as everybody. But things are opening up slowly. So I don't know. You kind of go out.
Yeah, what? We're 50% capacity in
something like that. You kind of, you know, put your foot in the water and you're like, okay, there's people here.
Except some people are like, easing restrictions equals everything's open.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's so antsy. So yeah. It's just like, oh, look, Dave and Buster's is open. Let's all go.
Well, I can't believe, okay, it's May 20th.
Mm-hmm.
We're almost in June of 2020. And it feels like it just turned 2020. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, because time's been suspended in this coronavirus.
You would think it would be moving slower if we're not doing anything. I don't know. It's weird.
I think it's the days go slow, but the time goes quick.
Do you think they've messed with the simulation?
Oh, you mean the people who
control
us? Yeah. Yeah, they turned it. the waves are different. The moon.
Just joking. Don't get on me for that. It's a joke. So what have you been doing, Russell, to feed your sports craving? I mean, that we haven't had for, what, 2 months now? 3 months?
Well, it's been a, like, godsend for The Last Dance, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But now that that's over, which was awesome. Like, especially, like, everybody is like, ooh, Michael Jordan sports figure. But, like, I'm a Bulls fan. I'm a Chicago sports fan. So, unfortunately. But,
still rebuilding.
Right. Well, we had a couple Thibodeau good years. Derrick Rose and then... That beautiful leg. But it's great to, like, I got chills the whole, like, last episode. And watching him talk about the seventh ring and maybe of getting everybody else back together and stuff like that, and how it, like, almost sort of was a possibility, and Reinsdorf saying Phil Jackson, you know, offered him, and he's just like, I don't want to go against Krause, it's not fair to him. I don't know how true that is.
Yeah.
Because, I mean...
The only people that will ever know will be...
Them.
Krause,
yeah.
The GM, or is Krause the GM?
Was the GM, yeah.
Who's the owner guy?
Jerry Reinsdorf.
Yeah.
But, Bulls are finally changing management up, so hopefully we can actually be a real team in a good market like we're supposed to be. Not like, no free agent wants to come to Chicago Bulls right now because they don't take care of their own, and it's just bad, but... A little bit of shakeup happening, but this isn't a Chicago Bulls podcast.
No, but it's something to talk about.
Right.
Growing up, I was too young to really appreciate Michael Jordan. I mean, during his last dance, I was, what, 5 years old? So
seven, but yeah.
Well, 98, right?
Yeah. Well, you're 90, so you'd have been six.
98 minus 93 is five.
Yeah, you're right. I was six or seven.
Either way.
Yeah.
Didn't really get to fully appreciate the Michael Jordan era, so yeah. Watching this documentary and then all that went into it has really made me appreciate his greatness and
sure
that era and all the players he played against. It was pretty outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Last Dance, reruns of certain stuff. I've been playing a lot of 2K, having fun.
Yep.
With that. That's
lots of 2K.
That's that kind of simulation is about as close as you can get to actual basketball. But anyways, this is our second off-season interview. We had the pleasure of speaking with Dana Caldwell. Some great insight. He's a sports editor for the last, I think, 27 years
plus,
for various
yeah.
sports clubs, professional, college. He's been around most recently covering FGC basketball,
yep.
So it was great to hear from him and what his outlook is on the team, the roster, and where to go from here. So.
Mm-hmm. A little tidbit about the FGCU Athletics Hall of Fame, too. He was a panelist for that, selected. So we'll get to hear a little bit about that, too, and, yeah, get some insight.
So here's the interview, and enjoy. Welcome, Dana. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. We enjoy it.
It's a weird time to talk about college basketball, but I'm always up for it.
Oh, of course. It's the only thing that we can do to get by right now. It's either that or video games or The Last Dance.
Right, right. I was listening to Como talk yesterday during a presser about how important it is for us to get sports going. You know, obviously we can't go in person, but we can watch it on TV, and that will be a big help.
And they recently announced that they're replaying the Game 6, I think, of the 98 Finals tonight on ESPN, which is going to be pretty fun to watch. I'm going to try and tune into that.
Yeah, I'm enjoying some of this old classic stuff, man.
Yep. So, Dana Caldwell, former sports editor for various clubs, college and professional, for almost 30 years, most recently covered FGCU. How's life been treating you since covering FGCU sports?
It's been different, man. After 27 years in the sports writing business as a columnist, reporter, and a sports editor, I'm doing something different now. I'm a proposal writer for a pharmaceutical benefit management company, something I thought I would never, ever, ever do, much less like. And, man, I just love it. It's a lot more interesting than it sounds. The hours are great. It's wonderful to be able to not work on nights and weekends. And it's a different life, but I'm really enjoying it, guys. I miss the sports to a degree, but I don't necessarily miss the vocation. Things had changed quite a lot when I was laid off for the last time last February. So life's good. I appreciate you asking.
Yeah, it's. I'm sure it's different being a fan now than it was maybe doing work for it and always having to be there for certain events and certain requirements and deadlines.
Much different. I'm enjoying the fandom. I didn't get to as many games last year by a long shot as I wanted. It's a little more hard to get motivated after a day in the office. I'm kind of getting used to office hours again, although I'm working remotely right now, and that could extend. But, after a full day at the office, you know, it's kind of hard, even though the arena's close, to get over there. But I'm going to do that a whole lot more next season, assuming next season happens. I did watch most of the men's games on ESPN3, though, and, especially toward the end of the season, I liked a lot of things I saw.
How has this crazy pandemic affected your work? Have you been able to keep doing what you've been doing, or has it affected your workplace as a whole? I know it's basically everyone's being affected in some way or the other, but just want to get some insight from you on that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I work for a really good company. It's called Benicard. We work out of Bonita Springs. We're at the head of a golf course in a really nice office. But we have our headquarters is in Pennsylvania, and we have an office in New Jersey as well. And they got us out real early, all us white collar folks. And then they got the call center people. They're basically there to answer calls about medications and nods from pharmacists and such. And they were out about a week after we were, so they had to. They had to buy about 250 laptops for the call center people and, get them all outfitted to work from home. And that's still going on smoothly. I think I'm in like week 7, maybe week 8 of working remotely. So we really haven't skipped a beat. Honestly, our supervisor said, the proposal said that we're way far ahead of the usual pace since we've been working remotely. So this could happen full time, and I'm kind of good with it either way. But yeah, it's I will tell you that we had in my area of the office there, I think we're about 20 of us, and unfortunately, 3 coworkers tested positive, and one actually passed. So that was very early on. So that was pretty sad and scary times.
Wow, man. I mean, it's definitely like anything else. There's conflict in this case, coronavirus. But whether it's a person or a company, it's you got to change with the times, or else you're gonna die. Not literally, but as a company. So it's nice that when it seems like all 3 of our companies personally now are sort of adapting to the times and getting those laptops for you guys and not just kind of folding.
Right, and I think life is just really gonna change. I'm sorry to sound like Cowherd here and be off sports for another minute or 3, but. I think lifestyle in America is just going to change. I think a whole lot more people are going to work remotely, and I think telemedicine is just really going to take off, something that I've been hoping would happen for a very long time for a lot of reasons.
Sure.
Very interesting. It's going to be very interesting to see what the post-COVID landscape looks like here in the USA.
Sure. Transition into basketball a little bit. as we said, and as you've said, we've been away from, you know, the coverage aspect of the sport for a few years and a couple years now. And what's it been like following the team from a distance? What have you seen? I know it's been kind of rocky since you left. I don't know if that has to do with you leaving or not, but what's it been like for you?
I tell you what does have to do with me leaving is I don't think a single Friday night high school game has had a lightning delay since I've been gone. But I can't take credit for the basketball woes. There's a lot of reasons for those. Nobody's happy with the way things have gone. That mostly includes Michael Fly. One of the big differences I would say in my experience through this is, I worked with Fly on a professional level and we became good friends over the years. I'd pick his brain on some things and, you know, he'd be very measured. He always took care of his head coaches and stuff, but, you know, I learned a lot from Michael and, you know, now we're very good friends. And, so I actually know more than I used to know, but, unfortunately I really can't say a whole lot of what I know.
Right. We never want to get you in trouble there.
Right. But, basically, Michael's a first time head coach. This being a little bit rocky is not a major surprise. The cupboard was not nearly as full as it was when Dooley took over previously. He inherited, the team. Things just, it's just almost been a perfect storm between injuries and guys maybe not working out right. Guys maybe not doing real well in the transition. Michael's got a different mindset on how to relate to players, what he expects from players on a personal level, academically, some things like that. And obviously the style is much, much different, and it's taken a while to be able to get that across. Plus, don't want to make too many excuses for my bud, but, the injury bug has been pretty terrible. So he hasn't had any depth whatsoever, and he's been pulling in a quick fix here or there, like Cashmere. He's got another graduate player coming in this year that'll be a big contributor. But, when you lose Zach Scott right off the bat, you've got, you'll basically lose what you're building your entire team around in year one. And then, last year was all kind of rocky with all sorts of different things. But what I like is I'm finally seeing – what he's been talking about for a long time. I did see the style of play get much, much quicker, especially in the half court sets. I liked that there was actual rim protection last year. That's something they were missing horribly. I like the cats that he's got coming back for the most part, very much. Some of them have not developed yet as quickly as we might have thought, but some of them have developed a lot quicker than we ever imagined. And then guys, this is just his second real recruiting class. And damn, it's a good one. So we'll see how it goes. But, I just talked to Michael just a day or two ago, and through everything, year three was pretty much circled. And, he said his expectations from year three, which were very high, I might say, when he took over, his expectations are the same for this year three that's getting ready to hopefully come up.
Yeah, I mean, it's strange. It's a strange situation, and you're definitely right that he had a lot less to go with than obviously when Dooley, came in. You're definitely right there, and it is only his second recruiting class coming in, and so I mean, with that being said, it's almost like it's year three, but it's like year two, two and a half, and it's like that's not, as a fan, that's not what you want to hear, because it's, especially I would say most fans of FGCU basketball are, post Dunk City. So it's not a culture that has experienced any losing. So they're spoiled to be, I'm spoiled, and so seeing this, it's not fun, but it's a trust the process kind of thing. And then especially at least record wise, you see a regression. But that's because, it was Denaro Mercurius. It was Cedric Kazmir. It was, you know, those guys who were that fill in.
That's right.
But, you know, going forward, it definitely looks like a good recruiting class. And, you know, those last year, start of the season, it's three JUCO guys who, you know, we Fly has said on a couple occasions that it takes JUCO guys sometimes 6+ months to sort of acclimate to the D1 game. And but they had to be starting right away. So it was like you watched Jalen Warren, Justice Rainwater, Sam Gagliardi and company. You watched them learn on the fly last year, no pun intended.
That's exactly right, which is, you know, you're talking about JUCO guys, but it's very reminiscent of Comer and Bernard Thompson starting as freshmen. You know, that wasn't a thing of beauty right off the bat. That took a while to actually happen. And, you know, Zach starting at the point is redshirt freshman season. It's difficult, guys. The speed of the game is a whole different animal in Division I. But I think the guys that you just mentioned, every single one of them is going to be much, much better this season, having played so much so early last season. You know, that's an obvious thing. Right. And obviously, right. That's the case also with Cyrus Largie, who has just been absolutely shocking, I think, to everybody, including, you know, Michael, who just loves this kid.
Right, he was fun to watch. I mean, when we first saw him get minutes, it was kind of like, oh, why is he in? But it was only a 4 minutes or so, and then we talked after the game, like why like what? No, was he really in? And then the next game, he got a start at one point pretty early in the season, and we're like, what is going on here? Who is this kid? But yeah, it was a great story for him to. I mean, you know, the obvious comparison is Sherwood Brown, but the. You know, it's you got to put realistic expectations too and just kind of see what happens. But he looks great.
Yeah, and, you know, he started the last four games.
Mm-hmm.
He averaged 9.5 points and 6.3 rebounds. And shot 52% from the field, but this is insane.
Yeah.
He made, 10 out of 18 three-pointers. Now that can't continue, surely.
Right.
But, you know, golly, what a threat. What a threat. And he's just a little fire plug, man. Tough little kid. And he's no longer a walk-on, of course.
Right.
So looking back and into the past, what are some of your favorite moments and memories while covering FGCU?
Oh, goodness. Of course, the Sweet 16 run. Maybe
some that the public wouldn't know about, some in behind the scenes or some of the memories that are kind of hidden from public view.
Oh, that's hidden from the public view. Not too much about that. I'm just kidding. I think probably the first time I got really excited about covering FGCU basketball, it started with the women. You know, of course, back then, I started in 2005. And, you know, the men weren't anything to write home about. But the women have just always been good. I just think... you know, I've covered Gene Cady, I've covered Nolan Richardson teams, I've covered Bob Knight teams, and I tell you, people look at me like I'm crazy. I think Cross Mesko is the best college basketball coach I've ever seen in my life, period, hands down, not close. But I remember when they had Michigan State in the building, and they beat Michigan State. I don't remember if Michigan State was ranked, but I'm thinking they probably were around 20th, something like that. And FGCU didn't beat Michigan State. FGCU beat the tar out of Michigan State. I want to say that's like 2007 or 8, their first or second season of D1.
Wow.
That was a tremendous memory. You know, I remember when the women came in the league, East Tennessee State was the team to beat. And Carol Kemp's teams, they pressed all over the floor. They didn't look anything like, you know, physically anything like FGCU did. And watching those teams go back and forth and then FGCU totally take that mantle away. I think the last time they played, FGCU won by about 20 in a pretty important game. That was fun to watch. I loved watching Dave Tollett's baseball teams and baseball players develop.
Oh, for sure.
I remember sitting around with Chris Sale and his Ryland when Ryland was an infant and stuff, talking to Chris and his wife. And I remember Chris Bell pulling up as a cocky freshman in a banged up pickup truck with the windows down. And and music blaring from his truck and how cocky he was and how he went from that to what he is now. You know, I remember, believe it or not, I remember tennis, A-Sun Championship tennis, men's, that went on into, I think, about 11 or 12 o'clock at night after tipping off about 9 that morning. I remember David Deros' softball teams when they were really super good, and Cheyenne Jinks was a 3-star athlete. You know, I could just go on. I remember women's swimming coach Neil Studd. He's one of the coolest guys you'll ever meet in your life, and he's doing wonderful things at Florida State. That's a great memory. I remember Carl McAloose, who built this thing.
Yeah.
And what an awesome, not only guy he was, but a really, really damn good athletic director. You know, the memories, they're just everywhere, guys. I could talk about this all day. So I probably ought to start curtailing this. You know, there just are so many memories. I really love covering FGCU. Again, I covered Arkansas 2 stints for about 8-9 years. Covered IU, Purdue. I absolutely love covering these FGCU kids, because I'll tell you, there is a giant difference in you know, these Power 5 conference players and the kids you get over to FGCU. Now, that's not to say, of course, not all Power 5 conference players are bad. Some of them are the greatest people I've, you know, Drew Brees, you'll never meet anybody greater than that. I got to cover him his junior season.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, the kids are usually hungry and humble. And, man, I just have really enjoyed being around them. I still do. I get over to practice some, and Michael even lets me in the film room every once in a while, and I enjoy that. I enjoy being around them. They make you feel young, and just so many impressive people at FGCU. I'd be lying if I said I didn't miss that. I don't miss the business, but I do miss being over there quite often, and I'm going to work on doing better on that.
Sure. And, yeah, just the camaraderie around all the guys and all the teams, and yeah, that's definitely something to, that's definitely the part that everybody remembers, when you're in it. And, you know, the special thing about FGCU is, you know, such a young university, and it seems like every single athletic program is, you know, the class of the conference for the most part. So that's definitely fun in that aspect.
I've been in that way for quite a long time. I am guessing our time's running down. Let me just throw out a couple of things real quick. I really think there is a ton of reason to feel good about next season for the men. I just really do. I'm looking at this roster, and I'm liking the guards. I'm liking Jalen Warren. I'm liking Largie, Caleb Cato, Gagliardi, excellent players. And then what I really love is all the 6'8" length that they've got coming in. Oh, and all, by the way, they've got the Eli kid, Abib or whatever his name is, coming in from Austin Peay, the grad guy who averaged 8-8 last season in the OVC, which is quite a lot better than the A-Sun. So, and then you got Dom London coming in here, the 3-point shooter who actually made 10 3-pointers in games last
year. Yeah, he looks pretty exciting.
Oh, yeah, man. All these guys, FGCU fans, you can see all these recruits. If you Google them, you'll find them. You know, Zach Anderson, who's coming in, he's one of those 6'8 guys I'm talking about. This is a guy, they've been looking for a feeler since Feeler left. Michael feels like Zach Anderson can be that guy. You know, if you remember, Chase, he was the spot-up shooter. He didn't do a lot of dribbling. He didn't create his own shots. He'd roll back off a pick-and-roll and pop threes and things like that. And he was such a good outside shooter that he could pump fake and then go straight to the basket. That's where, you know, a lot of those dunks came from. This guy is like that. Again, Dom London, 13 JUCO All-American, 3-point shooter like crazy. This Louis Rowan. Have you seen film of this guy?
He not, again, not with the expectations, but does he not remind you of Comer with the way he passes the ball?
Not so much. Yeah, me and Michael have talked about that incessantly. Now, he's not nearly as quick as Brett, but he might be faster, if that makes any sense whatsoever. And he is so smart with the basketball and so strong. And when I was covering Arkansas had some strong point guards. Corey Beck, when they won the national championship. Just a strong, physically strong, tough guy. This is that. But he's so creative with his passing, and he is very much a pass-first guy. The only thing that he doesn't have that Comer had is he can't pop the threes. But Brett couldn't either when he got here. So we'll see what develops along those lines. Victor Rosa, you know, this guy is, he's just an excellent athlete.
Yeah.
A 6'5 shooter. And then you go back to the 3'6'8 guys coming back. I love Justice Rainwater. I freaking love Justice Rainwater. and Dakota Rivers really came on. I don't know so much that he surprised the coaching staff, but he surprised me some, the way he really came on last season. He's going to be a heck of a player. And then I think one of the big wild cards for them is going to be Kwanzy Samuels. Kwanzy is another guy that Michael thinks can be feeler-like. In fact, one of the things that Michael has done during this summer, during this breakaway from the players, they can't instruct him what to do or anything, but he sends them inspirational clips. So for Kwanzy, for instance, he's been sending film of Fiedler. And, of course, he's been breaking down film of all the losses and sending plays to players and all that. But for Kwanzy, he's been sending, tape of, tape, like I'm 1,000 years old, film, or whatever you want to call it. He's been sending vid to Samuels of Fiedler. And if Kwanzy, I think it shows he had 4 early starts. The expectations for him were great. It didn't work out that way. But he's got all the confidence and the ability in the world, and I really think he's going to pop way out of that shell this year. And 39 blocks a game is just tremendous with as few minutes as he played. And then you got Justice Rainwater with 37 blocks. There's going to be a lot of athleticism. They're going to be able to fly. Would love to play 40 minutes of hell. He'd love to press the whole time. He can't do that anymore. He doesn't feel like. But we can see 20, 28 minutes of trapping, mostly full court. And that would be a great thing to see with 6'8" long-armed athletes all over the place and skillful guards.
We'll see how it plays out. And, you know, I have no doubt Michael knows what's on the line here. He knows what's got to be done.
Right.
But I think this will be a really, really fun team to watch, which I think is also extremely important.
For sure. I know it's definitely closer to the style that he wants to play, and that'll be fun to see how effectively that plays out. We're excited about it for sure. But just to kind of finish things off, a couple weeks ago, Athletic Director Ken Cavanaugh, went on the radio and made the announcement about the FGCU Athletics Hall of Fame. The inaugural, at least the only announced team, is going to be the FGCU, men's 2012-2013 Dunk City team, honored at the game that USC comes to Alico, because Andy Enfield will be there. And that's super exciting. But he also announced that you're one of the panelists, along with a few others. But just kind of what went into the selection process of, you know, choosing you, and how did he approach you with that, and what's that going to look like?
I think he got really desperate and just threw over my name.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I mean, I know going from here on out that, you know, stipulation 5-10 years or whatever might make sense, but to get it kicked off, I mean, there really isn't another way to go. That put everything on the map for a lot of reasons.
However, I believe has expressed interest in trying to get down here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So thoughts and prayers to him. He's one of the toughest guys I've ever known, mentally, emotionally, in every other way. He'll whip this thing. But just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, definitely. It was definitely sad to see that come across the feed. But I mean, you see all the support that he's getting because he's. I mean, whether it's professionally, personally, or just listening to him on the radio every day, he's reached a lot of people, so there's a lot of people that care.
He's such a good man. He's just such a good man. He's a strong guy.
Well, Dana, that's about all the questions we got today. We thank you for coming on and talking basketball with us, and look forward to seeing you around next year and maybe catch a game or two. And any last thoughts and comments for next season, and anything you want to close with?
Well, I just I appreciate what you guys are doing. Obviously, it's obvious what's going on in the newspaper business. It's just about dead. So there's almost no coverage of FGCU athletics anymore, which really hard for me to see. So we appreciate guys like you guys doing what you're doing. Anything at all to get the name out there is a good thing, and you know, fans are having to be more creative now to be able to keep up with the team, so you guys are really helping fill a void there. So just want to let you know, appreciate you guys.
Appreciate it. It's been a blast. It's something we've always talked around the water cooler, so they say, so we figured why not, you know, get a couple mics and put our thoughts into the internet world and have fun while doing it. So we appreciate it.
Keep it up, guys. Hit me up anytime.
Thank you, Dana.
Yeah, have a good one, man.
You do the same. See you. Bye.
Bye. Thanks again to Dana for joining us on the podcast. It was great to talk to you. And looking forward to next season. And stay tuned. We'll be having some more off-season episodes in the near future. Go Eagles!